This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Transposition on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host this afternoon, and I've got Jim Hyde in the studio, who is usually on Is Nothing Sacred at 10 p.m. Monday nights, and that's sort of where I started with Joy. I was invited on Is Nothing Sacred for an interview about me being trans, and yeah, I was invited back and got quite chummy with the Is Nothing Sacred team and really enjoyed myself doing the shows, and now I've got my own show, and I miss Jim so much that I thought I'd have him on the show and we can talk a little bit about trans allies, because Jim is a trans ally. How are you tonight, Jim?
I'm good, thanks, Kurt. Nice to be here. Congratulations on having your own show. It's nice to see spin-off shows.
Spin-offs, yeah.
We think of this as our baby brother.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, you guys sort of raised me and now here I am flying on my own. But tonight, there's lots to talk about. I did an interview with Jim and Sophie, Jim's daughter, who is the writer and director of 52 Tuesdays.
Fancy that, a gay man having a daughter.
Fancy that. And, well, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about
naturally
tonight.
Naturally conceived too, I might tell you.
All natural. Queer parenting was something that comes up in 52 Tuesdays, and it also comes up in your life, Jim. So I've got a little audio clip of Jim and Sophie talking together when I invited
them.
How sweet. It was a little session you guys had, wasn't it? Discovering.
It was our first on-air media session together.
Yeah. And you guys discovered a few things about each other.
We did.
I felt you did. It was a nice little connection. So tonight we've got lots to talk about. If you want to join in the conversation, you can SMS on 0427JOY949, or you can phone Jerry at the front desk on 1300JOY949, or feel free to email, which is a nice, easy, free way to do it, and that is onair@joy.org.au. And you can also jump on the Joy website, which is joy.org.au, and you can click on Transpositions, and there is a link to our Facebook page there. So go ahead and like the Facebook page. I'm hoping to get some photos of myself and Jim tonight, and we can even add Chris, because Chris is on the panel tonight. So we can put them up if you'd like to.
Two of the handsomest men around Joy, I might say.
Yeah, I'd say that too.
And yeah. Skilled, unbelievably skilled, aren't we, Chris? Oh, Chris can't talk.
Chris can't.
Indubitably, yes.
Excellent.
See, he can thanks, even Chris. Say indubitably.
So can you, Jim. So next up we've got Kylie Minogue, Confide in Me, which was the choice of Jim's, and I like that choice.
It's the best Kylie song.
It's great. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host this evening, and I've got Jim Hyde in the studio, and Jim is a favourite trans ally, and he is a very supportive, generous guy, in my opinion, and part of the...
He says that because I cook for him occasionally. Yes. And Candy. Hello, Candy.
Hello, Candy. Candy will be listening. So, Jim, you have got two daughters because you were previously in a straight relationship.
That's right.
And two lovely daughters have come out of that, and they're both identified as straight, aren't they?
Yeah, they're both straight identifying, but they say at various times that they're queer.
Queer, yeah.
Because they're very gay-friendly and gay-positive.
Yeah.
So one of them runs a hospitality venue in Castle Maine, and she has the rainbow flag all over the front door to make sure that people know it's a safe space, and she hosts things for the local Castle Maine gay community there. So, and the other one, of course, makes queer films.
That's right. You should all go and see Sophie Hyde's queer films. Yeah, 52 Tuesdays. Did you ever think, Jim, that you would have to hide your true self, your true sexuality from them? Or from day one, did you say, I'm going to be completely out with it and it's going to be...
Well, when they were born, I wasn't out. I came out after Sophie was born, in fact. So Alice, who's the older one of the two, was four at the time, and Sophie was one when I came out. But part of the agreement with their mother, we had a big long discussion, and I agreed to stay in the family to make sure that the family unit was in existence. One of the agreements of me doing that was that I would be out as a gay man, so that meant that the kids just had to get used to it. So they always knew.
And did you make an effort to educate them? I've already asked you this in the interview before, but was it a really important thing for you to educate them on gay issues or gender diverse issues? Even?
Well, it was. What for me, the most important thing was to make sure that they were politically aware. And I mean politically in small p, politically aware, but they were aware of difference and they were accepting of difference. So they were aware of sort of multiculturalism. And we used to talk about gay as being part of the multicultural milieu. And you know, the good thing about SBS in those days, SBS used to have lots of gay shows on and lots of gay films and things like that. And they justified that as part of the multiculturalism and that they were there to promote.
Mm. And when Sophie and Alice were growing up, did they ever introduce you as, this is my dad, he's gay?
A few times they did.
Yeah.
And I used to say to them, you know, you need to be careful about that because it's not that I particularly care, but I do care that other kids' parents might say, you're not allowed to play with those kids because, you know, he's gay, we don't want you to do it. But the worst thing that ever happened to me about being a gay parent was Alice was at my house once, where they used to live with me half the time, always. So they were 2 weeks with their mother and 2 weeks with me. And one Saturday afternoon, she was at my house with a whole lot of her friends. And she came out, left her friends inside, and she came out and sat. And I was on the front porch. I'd been doing some gardening, and she came out of the front porch, and she said, do you know what the best thing about having a gay father is? And I said, what? And she said, you don't get abused. And I thought, shit, what am I going to do now? Because does this mean they've just been talking about somebody being abused, one of those girls inside? They were all 13 and 14, I thought.
Yeah.
What am I going to say?
Mm.
And, you know, what am I going to say to all the parents? Am I going to ring up all the mothers and say, look, this thing's just risen at my place and you might want to keep an eye on your husband or your son or your father or your brother or something like that. So I sort of skirted around and I said, is there a reason? And we talked about the reason for this. And no, it was just they'd been talking about something they'd seen and something they'd been talking about at school. And so it wasn't, she assured me that it wasn't to do with any of the kids that were there. But it did actually make me step back and think, well, what do you do in those situations? Because you can't actually take on the world.
Yeah. And if it's false, then, you know, you could be making mountains out of molehills.
Well, and you could, in fact, be accusing someone of something which is pretty heinous and would be a family wrecker.
Exactly, yeah. It's a tricky situation. But thank God it all worked out.
Oh, it worked out fine in the end.
Yeah. So I'm sort of comparing you to, you're a gay dad, and I'm comparing you to, say, a trans father or something. If someone has a trans father, is it up to them to introduce them as, this is my dad, he's trans?
I think that's something that the trans man needs to talk about. He needs to talk about it with his partner, and he needs to talk about it with his children. What are the boundaries? You know, and one of the things I used to say when I used to do counselling in my younger community activist days, you know, I was on the gay and lesbian counselling service and doing all those sorts of things, and I used to say to people when they said, oh, I'm going to come out this weekend, it's going to be fabulous, and it's going to be this, and I used to say to them all the time, make sure that if you're going to tell your wife that you're gay, that you find out who she's going to tell, because she's going to tell someone, because she's going to have a new piece of information in her life that's really affecting what she does with the rest of her life, and she's going to want to share that with a confidant, and that's not an unreasonable thing to expect that somebody else is going to want to do. So if she says, I want to go and tell my sister or my mother or somebody like that, you're going to have to go yes, and you're going to have to agree to it. For somebody that you think is really homophobic or transphobic in the case of a trans coming out, you don't want the person to tell someone who's going to make your life a misery.
Yeah.
Because it can happen, and I can tell you from personal experience it can happen.
Yeah, you've got to choose your spaces very wisely.
You do have to choose your spaces wisely.
So coming up, I've got the interview with Sophie and Jim, and we'll play that and have a little discussion about it. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
We're listening to you. SMS 0427 JOY 949, email onair@joy.org.au, or call us 1300 JOY 949.
Do you think there's a relationship between Billy having a queer parent and Sophie yourself having a queer parent?
Of course, yeah, definitely. I think that this film is really personal in so many different ways, but not autobiographical, but there are so many things I've drawn on in my own life, yeah, including that of having a parent that doesn't necessarily fit in with the sort of normal idea of parent. Yeah, so, and in a way, I think that's something that I got to have, that I think Billy ends up actually having. Because for me, the story of James and Billy, I think there's something incredibly awesome about what James does, despite me feeling that he makes some mistakes along the way. but he decides to say, this is who I am, let's have a proper relationship as two real people, rather than me hiding a part of myself or not expressing that yet. That, you know, well, I certainly got to have that in my life.
And Jim, did you make an effort when Sophie was growing up to educate Sophie on homosexual matters and issues?
Well, what I did was I had an agreement with Sophie's mother that I was going to be a parent and an out gay man, and that meant being involved in gay community activities and all that sort of stuff, but it also meant being honest with the kids. They were educated in that you know, they used to get dragged off to things like the Gay Olympics and and they'd go to gay community events, and so they just grew up with it.
Mm. Did you ever get picked on Sophie for having a gay dad?
No. I remember there being a time where I wasn't sure if I should say that to people, and it was sort of like this thing that I would reveal.
But we actually told you that. We said to you once, when you were quite little, you need to think about who you're going to tell, because there'll be some kids whose parents won't like them hanging around with you because I'm gay, which was more the case for Alice, in fact, than it was for you, as it turned out.
I don't really remember any real negativity about it, only that kind of that decision, that question.
They did go to a school where half the school council was gay and lesbian.
Oh, nice.
I was on the school council and half the council was gay and lesbian.
Oh, that's great. Is that in Sydney?
No, it was in Adelaide.
Oh, in Adelaide, right, yeah.
Same school my daughter goes to, but they're
progressive old Adelaide.
Progressive old Adelaide. So, Sophie, if Jim wasn't a gay dad, do you reckon you would have made a movie about queer trans issues? And
oh, it's so impossible for me to say. I mean, you're so formed by how you're raised, and you hope that you would have been open to it. But of course, I mean, you retell your own stories over and over, I think, as a filmmaker, in some form, and certainly that. I mean, for me, these are familiar characters.
It's not Sophie's first queer film, of course, because she did actually win the shorts at MQFF with a film called My Last 10 Hours With You, which was a beautiful little film. And I saw it first at the theatre, and I thought, my goodness, you should have warned me about that, because it's actually reasonably explicit sexually in terms of gay men having sex. And it's like in your face right at the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
It starts off with it, and it's like, ooh. And I had a very different reaction to 52 Tuesdays, mind you.
It's funny that you say explicit sex, because 52 and also My Last 10 Hours With You, there's never any nudity attached to the sex, so it's actually not very explicit.
Well, it's explicit in that it's quite clear
what's going
on. 52, in My Last 10 Hours, about what's happening. And I know that some people I knew said to me, whoa, that was really brave, wasn't it? And they started talking like that, and I thought, no, it was actually a film that had a gay sensibility about it, and it showed people how they lived and what they do. And if they have sex, they have sex. That's just what it's like.
Do you think it would have been as shocking if it was a straight couple?
Probably not.
So, Sophie, what does it take to be a member of the queer community?
Yeah, great question.
Because you don't identify as lesbian or anything.
No, I don't. But I have the great privilege of not really having to identify.
Cool.
You know,
yeah.
Which is something that someone who is a woman in the relationship with a man and having a child rarely has to do.
Yeah.
You know? But I do feel more connected to a queer community than a straight community. I mean, I don't even know if there is
one. You grew up in it in many ways.
Yeah, that's right. And, I mean, I feel that the people that I'm telling stories about are my people, the people around me, the people that are familiar to me. And so, you know, when I was making My Last 10 Hours With You, the guys that we were in an interview for funding, and the guys kept saying to me, well, why do you want to tell this story? Why would you tell this story? And what's your experience, you know? And I felt uncertain of how to answer that.
Didn't you just say my father's a poof?
Well, you know, I don't think I should have to justify my life like that. But in fact, my producer at the time said, you know, if Sophie was making a film about truck drivers, you wouldn't be asking her this question. And the truth is that they're further away from her than this. We all make films about our people.
Do you feel like a bit of an activist by making queer films?
I feel like there are lots of things I'm passionate about, and they come out in the filmmaking. But I feel like they're things that I talk about, and the cast would have talked a lot about them, and we can talk about them now. But inside the film, that's just a story that kind of has an emotional through line. And I feel like that's how an audience connects to the work. And then there's lots of things to talk about around it.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and that was my interview with Jim and Sophie. And Sophie is the director and writer of 52 Tuesdays, and I'll just quickly brief you. 52 Tuesdays is about a 16-year-old girl, Billy, who is adapting to her mother's transition to her father. So it's all about having a queer parent, and James, who is the mother transitioning to a father, is struggling with being a mother and with his own transition to being a father. Is there a difference between mothering and fathering in your opinion, Jim?
I think really we should call it parenting. And I don't think that, even in 52, I didn't ever get the feeling that James was becoming a father. I got the feeling that James was becoming an authentic parent. And, you know, they talk a lot in the publicity for 52 about the authenticity of the film and the authenticity of the characters. And it's about being authentic. And I think that as a trans man, James was being authentic to his true self and was learning to parent as a trans man, not learning to be a father, because Billy, of course, had a father who was in the film and quite central to her life in that film.
Mm. So for yourself, sorry, I'm just reading my notes here, being the older you are, the harder it is to transition, really. Do you think transitioning as a parent is harder than transitioning as a child?
Well, I really can't answer that because I haven't had any experience of transitioning. I mean, I don't identify as a trans person. I think I am a trans ally, and I'm quite proud to count a number of trans people amongst my friendship circle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not at all embarrassed by them, and I'm not embarrassed by them being around me with my other friends. And if my other friends ask me, you know, oh, isn't that what's going on with that person? Or, I try to be as positive and non-revealing as possible because it's not up to me to out somebody as being trans or anything else.
Do you think it's important, though, to educate someone and promote awareness? Like, say if someone identified as trans but wasn't quite presenting as the sex they felt they were, do you think it's important to pull someone aside and say, look, this person prefers he, even though, you know, they're not quite presenting as he?
Yeah, I do think that that's true. I mean, if I invited you and Candy for dinner, for instance, I would ask you first up, will you mind if I introduce you as he and this is your partner, Candy, as a she? And if people ask, can we actually say Kurt is a trans man? I wouldn't just presume to do that. I'd get your agreement first.
Yeah.
But I would feel more comfortable, you know, in my own circle of friends, given the fact that I know my friends, and I'm fairly sure most of them would think, yeah, and?
Yeah, it doesn't even matter.
That's the way most people were talking about me when I came out as gay. They went, yeah, and?
Yeah.
Oh, ha, 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 how unusual would that be?
they know before we do. They know us better than ourselves.
Well, I sometimes think that is true.
Mm.
Some people were shocked, but not everybody. But yeah. I suppose coming out is coming out, whether you come out as trans, whether you come out as gay. I mean, I think the big challenge for us in the current era of queer community politics is coming out as positive, and I think that's a really hard thing for people to do. So I imagine that when people start coming out as trans and positive, that's going to be like the double whammy coming out, and that's going to be very hard to do.
I'm pretty sure the statistic for people who are trans positive
people.
I think it's quite high, trans positive people. So, yeah, that's very interesting. Do you think that coming out, because coming out's the same for being gay, lesbian, trans, whatever, do you think that's why we're all allies, because we all have to do that?
Well, I'm not sure that it's the same for everybody. I think the process is probably reasonably similar, but coming out is a personal adventure for everybody. And I mean adventure, and it can be a personal trial if you want to make it into a trial, but it can be an adventure. And adventures can be pretty much fun. I like the coming out bit. I like coming out to people now, you know, because I'm in your face a bit. And so I, you know, if people make the mistake of being homophobic to me, I'm afraid they cop it. I don't put up with it very well.
It's a bit of adrenaline. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and next up we've got The Beatles coming up, so stay tuned. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host, and I've got Jim Hyde in the studio, and we just started talking about coming out as trans, as gay, as lesbian, as bisexual, as whatever you want to be, and it's relatively the same You have to
make it an adventure is my advice.
I like that advice. One was certainly, I had to come out twice. I came out first as a lesbian and I didn't really have to do the sit down and everybody, I'm a lesbian. I sort of just had a girlfriend and everyone kind of went, we know, it's okay. You've got a girlfriend.
Dry the dishes, please.
Dry the dishes. And so I had to come out again as trans and that was certainly, yeah, that was just adrenaline filled. My heart was pumping. I was, yeah, as I said to Sammy the other night, we were saying when we're both preparing to come out, we were ready to call a cab to go to the airport and skip the country just in case it didn't work out because it's so frightening. And
that's what happened to me when I was, really? When I came out as a gay man and really? I came out in a marriage with two children and I was ready and I said at the end of my coming out weekend, well, do you want me to go now? And much to my surprise, the mother of my children, as I call her, then said, why?
Because she loves you.
No, she said, you're going to go and leave me with two little kids?
Oh, yeah.
You've got another thing coming.
So are you guys still friends?
We are. I was talking to her yesterday, in fact.
Yeah. And you get, like, there's enough harmony there to...
We talk about the kids and we talk about the grand thing.
Yeah, the grand thing.
The grand thing.
Audrey, is that right?
Audrey, who's in the film.
Hello, Audrey. Hope Audrey's
Oh, hello, time. Brian. How are you? Brian hello, is Audrey's... Brian. Dad, who is the partner of Sophie and who's had to be dragged into a queer family. But I think he's doing admirably well.
I'm sure it's growing on him. It's fun to be queer, don't you think?
Oh, yes, he's got quite a few queer friends himself. So
yeah, you know. Well, it's different. So coming out, let's say, Jim, if you had a child who was transgender, would that be different? Would it hurt more for you if it, your own child... rather than someone else's?
I think what I would be really worried about how successful they could be in life. That would be the thing that would most worry me as a parent. And I would be thinking, how can I help my child successfully live the life that they choose to live?
You know, that's exactly one of the things my sister said to me, because my sister identifies as lesbian, so she was one of the first people I went to about saying I'm transgender and I'm thinking of transitioning. And the first thing she said to me was, I think trans people have a hard life. And that was her main concern, was that we get picked on and there's discrimination and it's a little bit harder than, say, just identifying as lesbian or gay. Do you agree with that, Jim?
Yes, I do agree with that, because when I worked in politics... at the local political level, we had a constituent who was a fairly well-known transgender woman, and she'd had a very hard time because the people in the block of units she lived in knew that she was transgender. And she would go and spiralling into these fits of depression. And when she spiralled into the fits of depression, she'd stop taking her hormones.
Oh.
And funnily enough, you know, she'd grow a beard and she'd do all sorts of things like that. And, of course, that made the neighbours even worse than were.
Yeah.
Because they just thought that she was some sort of freak and she was just trying to be her. She was just trying to live an authentic life. And she was being stopped leading that authentic life by her environment and by the fact that there were not the sort of support she needed to not spiral into fits of depression. And it was pretty hard to deal with. And she'd come into a politician's office and ask for assistance. And it was very hard for us to find ways of giving her that or, you know, directing her, because politicians' offices are just great big social working offices, really.
Mm-hmm. So for her, it was very visible that she was trans. I suppose for you, you can hide that you're gay. And it's, you don't really.
Oh, I don't know that I can hide that I'm gay. I think people know that I'm gay. I don't think it's, I've never tried to hide it, I have to say. So
yeah.
Not since I came out have I tried to hide it. And so, you know, I've led a fairly successful life as a senior public servant and as a senior academic and things like that. And I've never gone, I'm in the closet.
Yeah.
And in fact, I was the most senior openly gay bureaucrat in New South Wales and the New South Wales Public Service for a long time.
Yep.
And I copped a bit of the shit for it as well.
Oh, really? Course.
But I just stood up and went, well, I am. So get into Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Get into it, guys. You'll love it. So Chris has got something to say. He's got a little story because we were talking during the break about being a trans parent. And
yeah, I guess coming from probably, I guess as a gay man working at Joy, I probably have a larger experience or a wider experience of the trans community than maybe many other of my peers. But at the same time, I still think it's fairly limited. And as you're discussing coming out, and interestingly, Jim was discussing the fact that he came out as gay while in a marriage with children, that same situation to come out as trans, for me, the big question is around how do you come out to your children, and how do you address the whole who am I to children? And I mean that from the perspective of if you're a trans man who has transitioned from being a woman, you were mum, but that child has a dad, so you don't transition to becoming other dad.
Mm-hmm.
So that would, to me, seems like one of the hardest and most difficult things to traverse, because there's no other word for mum or dad.
Mm.
I mean, how do you know anyone who has really dealt with that situation, or how would people try to deal with that situation?
Well, it was actually the question that I dreaded most was the kids asking me whether didn't I want to have children. You know, am I gay? Did that mean I didn't want to be with a woman, and therefore did I want to not have children? Because that actually invalidated them as individuals if they asked that question. They never asked that question because I think I was a reasonably good parent, and so I didn't actually give them the opportunity. Not that I didn't prevent them from asking it, but I didn't actually provide the environment where that came up as an issue.
Mm.
I do remember once Alice being asked when she was being interviewed by the BBC, of all people, who came to Australia looking for gay parents because they couldn't find any in England. And we were being interviewed for a BBC TV program, and they said to her, "What's it like having a gay father, Alice?" And she, at about age 8, raised her little knowing eyebrow and went, "What's it like having a father?" and snorted. And then when the interview was finished, she looked at me and she said, "What am I supposed to say to them? My dad likes boys, my mum likes boys. Of course I'm going to like boys."
So I think, Chris, as you were saying before, maybe a way of dealing with it is to create another word for mother or father, or use the word for father in Spanish or something, you know, or, yeah, it's a really tough one.
I would imagine it would be a very individual path, but I'd be really interested if there is anyone listening tonight that's been through that has any ideas, or has what did or didn't work for them. That would
absolutely
would be amazing.
Yep, SMS 0427 JOY 949, or phone Jerry at the front desk. He'd love to speak to you on 1300 JOY 949, or email on air at joy.org.au. The other thing, Jim, I wanted to talk about was the stages of emotions that people receiving the news are going through. So initially there's going to be a bit of shock. I still remember so clearly when I told my mum that I wanted to transition.
She probably was going through grief because she'd had her whole life thinking of you as her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she had no experience of thinking of you as her son. And in fact, even if she'd had wanted a boy at some stage during one of those pregnancies that she had, and she might have been disappointed she never had a boy. You don't know. You've probably never asked her that question.
I think she was.
She suddenly was confronted with this, "You've now got a boy." And that wasn't ever in her hardwired brain to think like that. So she would have, I think, probably gone through the, "Oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, what did I do?"
Mm-hmm.
And all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think all parents ask that question.
Certainly, yeah. I think she went through that before I came out to her as trans, because I was struggling with life a bit. And she thought, well, it's all about me being the mother, and it's all my fault, and it's everything that I've done has, you know, contributed to my daughter's life. And I think she certainly felt like she was losing a daughter and couldn't quite cope with having a son, because she had three daughters. I was the youngest. And so it was always sort of, my dad was the only male around, and he quite liked being surrounded by his ladies, even though I think he did want sons. But it was just a real shock to, after one man in the family, then invite another man in.
Your challenge is to stay open enough to have them come back, isn't it, really?
It is, but I don't think I need them back or want them back, or don't think it's very
still a challenge.
It is still a challenge, but it's just made me a stronger person. We'll continue this conversation. We've got Ben Harper. There will be a light coming up.
See, there's the light.
There is a light. How appropriate. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and that was a lovely song, also chosen by Jim. Is that one of your favourites, Tim?
Oh, I have good taste in music, but very diverse taste in music. You should see my CD collection at home. It ranges everything from classical through a lot of world music, a lot of jazz and gospel-oriented things like that. Even hip-hop.
I have seen a bit of your CD collection. I always put on REM when I come around.
That is true.
I weeded Jim's garden the other week, folks. And Jim and I had good conversations over a cup of tea.
About being trans or not being trans.
About being trans, yeah.
We did actually graduate to that, didn't we?
We did. And I found it interesting what you were saying about trans men being accepted in the gay community. I suppose the gay community is all about cock, isn't it?
It sure is.
So does a trans man... Is he welcome? Are you gay boys like trans men?
Well, I'm quite welcoming of trans men as my friends, but I don't know that I'm actually quite welcoming as trans men as my lovers.
Yes.
Because I actually like cock.
Yeah.
You know, I have to admit it.
Yeah.
So I think if I reach down there and find a vagina, I think to myself, I've actually done that.
Been there, done that.
Been there, done that, and I don't really need to do it again.
Yeah. Trans men, not all... I do want to mention on the radio that everybody knows who Buck Angel is, and we've probably all seen clips here and there of what he does in the bedroom.
That.
Yeah, we've seen that, and not all trans men have sex like that. We don't all want to be a man with a vagina. I personally am revealing my personal preference is I don't have a vagina. I have junk down there. And my clitoris has grown since being on testosterone, and that is my penis. And sometimes I can strap a plastic penis on, and I like to do it like that. And
Silicon boy.
We're all different. Silicon boy.
You better watch out now, because I'll be really inappropriate next time you're around at my place and call you Silicon boy, probably.
Well, my partner does work for a sex toy shop, so... She comes home with
all
the best.
So she can bring you junk home.
Yeah. She brings home what she wants. She just chooses it.
She's lucky.
I'll be whatever she wants to be. She just straps whatever it is she feels like on me.
Good on
and
her.
It's getting very personal.
Can I ask a question there?
Go for
just
it,
for
Chris.
A second. Because yep. you've said that I can ask the obvious questions here.
Yep.
Your girlfriend was with you through transition, is
yeah.
that right?
Yeah.
So do you think that would be different if, for example, you had to go out and find a new soulmate or partner now,
yeah.
how different that experience would be?
It would be so hard because I wouldn't know whether to be going for someone who's a lesbian or... 'cause I like women and I'm open to men, but I've never really connected with one on a sexual level. So, yeah, I wouldn't know whether a straight chick would want a trans man or a lesbian. And it's so hard to know when to disclose as well when you're meeting someone.
I also think, though, that, you know, I had a sexual relationship with the mother of my children for 7 years after I came out. And in many ways, a very good sexual relationship in that time when I was identifying as a gay man. And part of that is the intimacy. You know, if you're intimate with somebody and you have an intimate relationship with them, you can do all sorts of things.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the intimacy is what actually drives it.
Yeah, and it brings that closeness and that connection.
I guess, Jim, you and I would probably know pretty well that in most cases, a gay relationship starts, in lots of cases anyway, at a physical level.
And yeah, they do.
And then it moves across to a much more intimate and a much more intellectual and connection level
I think that's the weakness of the gay community is we don't actually allow the sort of courting relationship. We don't promote courting. And I think courting is a wonderful thing. And I think for trans people have the opportunity to actually reintroduce the notion of courting.
There's the answer.
Well, they could become courting consultants.
Could.
Courting consultants to the gay community.
I like it. Well, I know because I was talking to an MTF friend of mine and she says she doesn't feel very welcome in the lesbian community. Do you think that's because lesbians have almost got this stereotype as feminists and having someone who was brought up a man in their space, is that what makes them feel uncomfortable?
Well, I've spoken to straight women who say that the thing that worries them about male to female transgender people is the fact that they never quite lose the male sensibilities that they had as male and that they say and do things that remind these women all the time that that used to be a man.
A predatory man.
And they don't like it. Mm. They don't like that invading their space because they don't feel safe in that space. And the reason they like women-only spaces is because they feel safe.
Mm.
So I think, you know, transgender people have a responsibility in themselves not just to think the world owes us.
Yes.
Because they didn't recognise when I was two that I was transgender.
Mm.
But that I've got a responsibility to find my space in the world that doesn't actually invade other people's spaces in an unacceptable way. And I think that's a really hard thing for people to actually grasp and to accept. Yeah.
I think as a transgender person, you can be very selfish. And we forget that there's partners and there's friends there that are going through a certain process as
well. He does weed quite well, though, everyone.
Jim's garden is looking spiffing at the moment. It's
looking even better since I got into it since and planted some more things.
Did you? Oh, how exciting. We're going to have a barbecue soon.
We are going to have a barbecue soon.
Yeah. Where were we? You always throw me off track like that. So being a trans man in a men's toilet, were you uncomfortable with that, Jim?
Not at all.
If we went to the bathroom together and we were in the toilet together, would you want to go in the corner so that I wasn't looking at your cock? I was raised female?
No, that's not what would worry me. I tend to go to the furthest away bit of the urinal anyway when I go to the loo. Lots of men I know are just a bit piss shy, really, about it.
But, yeah.
But, you know, I would sort of expect that the transgender person would probably go to a cubicle because that would be easier for them, and I wouldn't raise an eyebrow at that either. I would think, oh, well, yeah, fine.
Yeah, whatever. It's so different in the men's bathrooms to the women's bathrooms. It's so much better in the men's bathrooms because you can just do what you need to do and get out of there and nobody looks at you, which in the women's bathrooms, it's everyone's looking.
What's that man doing in here?
Exactly. When I was a lesbian, I usually would go towards the disabled toilet because I get funny looks. And
then all the people with disabilities glare at you because you went in there and took their space.
Mm. But then I could technically come out and go, look, I'm disabled. I struggle with gender dysphoria. It's a little bit of a disability sometimes, but I wouldn't like to call it
that. Be careful what you wish for.
Be careful what you wish for. I hope that you've all enjoyed the show tonight. We've got a little message for you now. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I'm Kurt and I'm here with Jim. And if you just tuned in, you're a little bit late because we've nearly finished the show.
You'll have to go to the podcast.
You will have to go to the podcasts. So go to our website on joy.org.au and also like the Transpositions Facebook page because we need you to share it and get it out there so people know what's coming up on our shows. And Jim, I just wanted to ask you one more question before we go. What's the best way to support a friend if they come out to you as trans?
Be welcoming, I think. Be as honest as possible and welcoming. And the fact is that you're the best person probably. If someone comes out to you, you're probably a person that person feels reasonably safe with, otherwise they wouldn't have come out. So you can probably ask the awkward question, and you should be prepared to ask the awkward question because there'll be all sorts of things like that discussion we had tonight about junk and all that sort of thing. Lots of people want to know about that. It's quite interesting. I mean, I remember going and listening to Sally Goldner once talk, and she talked first up about the junk issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, in her public talk, because that's what people, she says, that's what people ask.
That's what the burning question.
The burning question is, what have you got down there sort of business? You know, like it's none of their business, but nevertheless people want to know because people are naturally curious. But
yeah.
So if somebody comes out as trans to me, then my response is generally, well, hello, this is a new person.
Yep.
Or it might not be a new person. It might be an old person that I've already met before and I've known in a but now I'm knowing them more.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome the person that they now are presenting as my advice to people.
Mm.
And be prepared to ask the hard questions and to be prepared for the reactions to the hard questions because you might upset somebody. You will upset somebody.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might have to cry together.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Crying together is sometimes quite cathartic.
Yeah, it releases endorphins, doesn't it?
Oh, apparently it makes you feel like you're on a bit of a high.
Yeah. Do you cry much, Jim?
Oh, occasionally I cry. I cry in films. It's terrible.
Yeah. Bit of a soppy romantic film.
No, I don't cry in soppy romantic films. I cry in films that I connect with the characters. Sometimes I feel really strongly about a character and it will make me a bit teary.
Yeah.
Like I cried in 52 Tuesdays the first time I saw it.
I was going to ask that. Yeah.
I came out of that film when I first saw it at the world premiere and thought, I don't know what to say about it. And I was like, I couldn't say anything because I was sort of a bit choked up.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at Sophie and saying, that's a real film.
Yeah, it is a real film.
And because it wasn't one of her shorts or one of her little docos that she'd made in the past. It was a real film.
Mm. It's one of the best Australian films I've ever seen. So go and see it. It's still at Cinema Nova.
It's at Cinema Nova and is at the Classic at Elsternwick. And the Classic at Elsternwick has been supporting Joy all this week by giving away tickets to on Joy Breakfast.
Yep, so stay tuned.
And they
tuned
probably
in.
Still are over the rest of the week. So, you know, you might, if you wake up at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, you might actually win a ticket or two.
That's right. So stay tuned in to Joy 94.9. Thank you so much for listening to Transpositions. We will be with you next week at Tuesday at 9 p.m. like always.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.